Welcome into another episode of One on One with Joe O'Donnell. Sorry for a bit of a delay between episodes. I don't know where the heck the month of September went. Getting the kids back into school, getting back in the swing of things, but it is hockey season, my friends. That's right. Preseason is underway. And of course, the weather's starting to change a little bit outside in lovely Minnesota. Good start for the Minnesota Wild to the preseason. Couple of preseason games left at the time of this episode, and it's a good one, or at least I think it's a good one. Glad to be joined by Marc-Andre Fleury, Minnesota Wild goaltender, the 38-year-old, soon-to-be Hall of Famer. Whenever he does hang him up, you know he'll be a first-ballot Hall of Famer. The resume speaks for itself. Don't forget, one-on-one with Joe O'Donnell, presented by SodaStick. Go to sodastick.com to get your original Minnesota-inspired goods. That is sodastick.com, designed by Minnesotans for Minnesotans. Use code one-on-one, that's code one-on-one, for 15% off your next order. Super soft, super comfy, shirts, hoodies, hats, really cool stuff. Sodastick.com, again, code one-on-one for 15% off your next order. Shout out as well to the Minnesota Wild PR staff and Aaron Sickman for helping get Marc-Andre Fleury on, especially given the fact that he wanted to get it done on a preseason game day. Didn't have a ton of time with the Quebec native, but it was certainly awesome to just sit down and chat with him a little bit about his career, some of the milestones that are coming up. And I think you can just, when you listen to the interview, I think you can just hear what a lot of people sort of think about Marc-Andre Fleury, if that makes any sense. Good guy, humble, outgoing personality. And he doesn't like to talk about himself, if I'm being quite frank. You get that sense, right? He's sort of shy when it comes to the accolades and what he's accomplished. But he's just a fun guy to be around. And he loves the game. And I think fans and the media, they see that in his style of play, his energy, his enthusiasm. You wouldn't know he's 38 years old and closing in on the second most wins ever if you spend time around him, if you watch him come to the rink and repair. He has that sort of youthful energy about him still. And I'm assuming he was that way as a rookie. He seems to be that way now as he nears two decades in the National Hockey League. So just again, thrilled to have him join me. Quickly though, on the Minnesota Wild preseason, a lot of question marks around some of the younger players. I think that the core is pretty much intact. That's not breaking news. And so this year for the Minnesota Wild, in a lot of ways, I think comes down to how the younger players perform. Yes, you need goaltending, right? Philip Gustavsson cannot regress too much, right? Can we expect second in the league in goals against average again? I don't know. Depends on maybe how the team plays in front of him, the number of starts he gets, his health, etc. But, can Gustavsson be a top 10 goaltender in the league? What do you get from Marc-Andre Fleury this year, and what could be the final year of his career, given the fact he's in the last year of his contract, and he has said openly that, he'll wait till the end of the year to make a decision, but I think a lot of people think the writing is on the wall, and if he does decide to call it a career after this, obviously what a career it's been. So goaltending is going to be crucial for the Wild. That's, I don't think that's any type of outlandish statement. Any team that's going to have success in the NHL, just like having a good quarterback in football, if you don't have goaltending, you're going to be in some trouble. So let's put goaltending aside and just talk about some of the young players, right? You got Marco Rossi. He's going to get every opportunity to contribute this year, not just be in the lineup, but contribute. Can he be a 10 to 15 goal guy, having not scored at all in a brief stint last year, in 20 or whatever it is, regular season games? He doesn't have a goal. So is it too much to ask to think if Marco Rossi plays 65 games for the Minnesota Wild this year that he can score 10 goals? I don't think so. I think once the first one goes in, the confidence for this kid is going to come to the forefront, and I think you'll see his playmaking ability. Some power play time would probably benefit him. But he's got to stay in the lineup every night, and he's got to contribute. He put on about 15 pounds of muscle. Should help him for the grind of a regular season, hopefully make him more ready to be a real contributor to this hockey team, because they're going to need him. Kalen Addison on the back end. Brock Faber on the back end. What do these guys bring night in, night out? We saw a glimpse of Faber late last year. Looked as cool as the other side of the pillow. Looked smooth out there. He's going to play with Jonas Brodin. But Dean Evason has talked about the need for his offensive game to grow, especially when you have such a great all-world defenseman, and in some ways a security blanket, and Brodin is your partner. And on Kalen Addison's game, Look, it's the 5-on-5 play. He was scratched a lot late last year. He led all NHL rookies in power play points. He's going to, you know, the power play in some ways will be as good as Caitlin Addison makes them, but in some ways his team's 5-on-5 success will also come down to how Caitlin Addison plays and if he's able to be in the lineup consistently. You have a lot of depth if, you know, Alex Goligoski is your seventh defenseman. We'll see. Will it be John Merrill and Caitlin Addison? Will it be Goligoski and Addison? Will it be Goligoski and Merrill? And Addison's the one guy out in the press box most nights. You're going to have your injuries. You're going to need all the depth this organization boasts to get them to where they want to be, 90-plus points in a playoff spot. But these younger players, Rossi, Faber, and Addison, certainly are going to have a lot to say about this team's success. And if this group stays healthy, I fully believe they're right back to where they've been, you know, in 10 of the last 11 years or whatever the streak is as far as Stanley Cup playoff appearances. All right, enough about my outlook on the Minnesota Wild. We've got plenty of time for that in the coming months. Time now for the four-time All-Star, former Vezina Trophy winner, 92 career playoff wins, 3 Stanley Cups. He shut out 28 different teams, the most ever by a goaltender in NHL history. And he's just 7 wins shy of tying Patrick Waugh for the second most all-time. It's my pleasure to bring you my chat with Marc-Andre Fleury.
Absolutely thrilled to be joined by Marc-Andre Fleury, my guest here today on One-on-One with Joe O'Donnell, the man they call the Flower, soon to be Hall of Famer. I know he doesn't want to talk about that, of course, but Marc-Andre, thanks for joining me. How you doing, bud?
Very good. Yourself?
Good. I understand you've got a new car, a new whip, as I would call it.
Yeah.
What'd you get?
I'm a big car fan, and also I thought being in Minnesota with this weather and everything, I was able to get a Hummer Electric. The new one that came out.
Are you an electric car guy? Is this your first foray into electric vehicles?
Yeah, my first one. I didn't think I was going to be a big fan because I like engines, I like the sound, I like driving, yeah. You know. But it's great. I know it's pretty big, but it drives pretty smooth and it's comfortable, it's quiet, it's easy. Like the charging and stuff, you know, it's not as bad as I thought maybe it could be. Only had it for a few days, you know, but yeah. So far so good.
Really cool. What's the family think of it?
Kids like it. They get a little more, 3 kids, right? So when they sit across on the back, it's pretty wide car, so they get a little more room to move, right? So maybe a little bit less fighting and stuff. So that's nice. Wife hates it. Just think, why are you buying this big old truck? Anyway, but my car, right?
So yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good like for it. You. Do you usually kind of, you know, splurge and have a purchase for yourself every now and then?
I do, yeah. Like I said, I'm a big fan, and also I don't know, maybe every year or a couple of years I change, and
yeah,
if the weather's good, so I like sports cars a lot too.
Yeah,
so I've had a few in my career.
What did you have in Vegas, because you don't have to deal with bad weather there?
Yeah, that might have been my favorites. So I had a Jeep when I was taking the kids to school and stuff. And then I had a Lamborghini.
Wow.
Huracan Performante. So that was my favorite one. I think it was just fun to drive and sounded awesome.
Are you a race car guy? Like, do you watch Formula One or NASCAR, any of that stuff?
Yeah, I like F1. Since I'm a kid, you know, there's a French driver, French Canadian, Jacques Villeneuve. So I think it got me into it, and then kind of move away a bit from it, and then since watching Netflix, it kind of gave me that, you know, little spurge back into it. What do you call it?
Just kind of piqued your interest again.
Yeah, probably.
It really did. Cool.
Yeah, and the show was amazing too. It was nicely done, so it was cool.
What else has the family been up to? They're back in school now. I know you live in Edina. I've seen you out at the youth fields. The kids are playing sports. They're back in school. Everything's good there.
Yeah. My youngest is 4. Was an hockey meet, you know, learned to skate and stuff.
Oh,
so,
awesome.
Yeah, he's learned that. And my 2 girls are both playing soccer. So,
when did you start playing hockey?
I think I was 6, maybe like in the league, right? So I started at that time. And my neighbors signed up and then, yeah, just joined. My dad used to play too. So I guess it was, we played like in the basement and stuff like that. But joined the league, learned to skate. I think after a couple of years, I started playing goalie right away. So.
Were you a good skater? Did you consider not making the move to goal?
No, but like I wasn't scoring much, and it was making me mad, you know. So one day I tried goalie, and then just loved it. Loved it, staying on the ice the whole time, getting the pads, getting to dive around and all. So, and that was it. Yep.
You still love it to this day, though. Age 38, you're still doing what you love to do. You look good, and you've always got that smile on your face around the rink. And that's one of the things that, you know, we haven't spent that much time together. You've had a long career, but I've always noticed that about you, the love for the game. I think the fans and the media, they see that as well. Where does that come from?
I don't know. I love it. Like I said, you know, I feel very, very lucky, very fortunate to be playing hockey, right? To still do what I love, you know, since I'm a kid. It's a dream, you know, growing up. And I never actually thought I could, you know, make a living out of playing hockey, but I got fortunate, things worked out, and still having a lot of fun, you know, with the guys at the ring, you know, you guys, right, everybody around the locker rooms and stuff. And, you know, for sure there's some days that are harder, right, not smiling all the time, but that's part of it too, you know, bouncing back from tough times and the feeling that you get, you know, when you get those wins after tough times, and those are nice too.
Who were some coaches or role models you had growing up playing the game that really stand out?
Yeah, it's probably my dad, right? He played a bit. We loved the game. We watched the games a lot together. And maybe the first few tips as a goaltender, right? They didn't know too much about it, but tried his best. And then I had a goalie coach, Stefan Menard, when I was young, who taught me a little bit here and there. And then just being in Montreal, watching the Canadian, Patrick Roy was my idol, and also came Marty Brodeur afterwards. So both these guys, I think Roy was like the guy that would play butterfly and was very, I don't know how to say it. He wanted to win, right?
He had that confidence, right?
Yes, exactly. You know, seeing him wink at guys in playoffs and stuff.
Tomas,
right?
Sandstrom in the 93 final, and he makes that save and just gives him the wink.
Yeah, you remember that? I had to show him with the wink.
Listen, I have Patrick Waugh posters in my room. Yeah. And I was growing up outside of Philly. Like, I just became a huge fan of him. And this, to this day, kind of pains me to admit it, but I rooted hard for the Canadians and then the Avs because I was a Waugh fan. So I get it. And you're knocking on his door now as far as second all-time in wins. You come in with 548 to start the year. You get 8 wins. You stay healthy. I think we all expect you to do that. What will it be like if you're able to surpass Patrick Waugh?
I don't know. Like I said, still have to get there, right? But it's an honor to be mentioned in the same, you know, sentence as him. Trying to get those wins. I've been very fortunate, right, playing with many good teams and great teammates, and being able to stay healthy for most of my career, so that helped too. But there's one thing though about Patrick that maybe I can catch him there, but his playoff wins are above everybody else, right? Like the way that he battled and the success he's had in playoffs, that's I don't think he'll be touched so soon.
Have you ever met or gotten to know Patrick Waugh or Marty Brodeur for that matter over the years?
Yeah, I met Patrick once. It's a charity golf tournament, I think, to chat a little bit. Always feels weird a bit. You know,
were you starstruck?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Yeah, so it was kind of weird a bit. And Marty too. I got to play with him obviously got to play against him, and then, you know, the first time he said hi in warm-up, you know, to me, I was like, oh, jeez. You know, I thought that was so cool. And I got to play at the Olympics in 2010. I was the third guy there, so I got to spend a little bit of time with him. And, yeah, he's a great guy.
You've had a lot of accomplishments in your career. You mentioned the international experience. What is it like, or what was it like for you to put on the Canadian sweater and have success representing your country?
It's such a great experience. You know, obviously, growing up, I wanted to play in the AHL, I wanted to win the Stanley Cup, right? Those were my dreams, but right up there too, you know, playing for Team Canada is such an honor. And at the time, the chance to spend time with, like I said, Marty and Roberto, and obviously, you know, everybody else on the team were great players. So it was good to get to know these guys a bit more. And, you know, even though I didn't play, I was just so proud and happy to be part of it, and to see the team win at the end.
You're also closing in on 1,000 career games played. And my partner in the radio booth, Tom Reed, will often say, think about all the other games you spent on the bench. I mean, you've seen a lot of hockey. What will it be like if you're able to reach 1,000 career games? Only a couple of goaltenders ever have done that.
Yeah, I think, again, Waugh, Luongo, and Brodeur, maybe, I think. Yeah, so it's, I don't know, it's, again, I feel very fortunate, you know, I was able to play for this long, and living, playing the game, right? I think it's there's some tough times, obviously, but there's a lot of good times, a lot of good stuff happening and that happened throughout my career and stuff. So, yeah, but I think I'll be pretty proud if I can get there, right? I try to work hard and try to stay in shape and stuff, right? To be able to stick around and be healthy. So hopefully it happens.
Did you feel pressure being the number one overall pick?
Yeah, for sure. There's some, you know. I don't think I thought I was going to stay that first season, right? So maybe there was a little less because of that, right? But I still wanted to leave a good mark or play well, you know, to show the team that they pick right, and they did. They're not regretting it, picking me a few weeks later. But it was, yeah, it was. I started the season there and then won a couple, and we lost a lot, right? So that was something that was hard, you know, the not winning and seeing what's written in the papers and stuff, right? So it was a tough time, but I think it made me better as a goaltender because of this.
I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to ask you about that. I mean, you spent some time in the AHL. That first year or two at the Penguins, you look at the record, didn't have a lot of success. Crosby comes in, Malkin comes in. But still, I'm guessing you guys with that younger core, you had some vets there, some Hall of Famers. But, you know, did you have to learn to win as a group?
I think so. Yeah, it was changed a bit, right? When we got all these guys, 2004 was a lockout. Then there was some rules change a bit, a little less hooking, a little less slowing guys down. I think, you know, all the vets had to get used to it a bit. But like you said, once we get Sid, Malkin, Letang came in, Jordan Staal, Talbot, right? I think it was like we kind of all like got in together and lost together and saw the feeling of it, right? How miserable it is. And I think we worked our way and learned to win all the way to the Cup.
2008, you lose in the final to Detroit. You get another crack at them in 2009. It's game 7. That save on Lidstrom in the dying seconds. Can you walk me through that play? I mean, that's a historic moment in your career, the Penguins franchise history, and it was you know, if he's able to beat you there, who knows what happens, right?
Yeah, it's exciting. 6 seconds, I think. I was left on the clock when there was a face-off to my left, and then I think it was just a little scramble a bit at the face-off, and their guy threw the puck, you know, through some legs, and just saw it last second too. I went down and hit my pad, went to my right, and I saw Lidstrom coming down kind of by himself, and then I just figured he wouldn't shoot low, so that's why I dove across, right, instead of just putting a pad there, and took in the ribs. I got a bruise too for a couple of weeks after in the
really?
Ribs. Yeah. So that was a good one, but definitely the best feeling I ever had in hockey.
You win again 2 more times to lift that Stanley Cup over your head. They were both very different situations for you personally and the team, of course. But were there different emotions for Cups 2 and 3 compared to the first one?
Yeah, for sure. The second Cup, I was out because I had a concussion. And then Jeff Zadkoff played the first game. And then Matt Murray came back. I think he was concussed too. He came back a couple games in. And played so good all the way to the end. I think I played one game in those playoffs, and then we end up winning at the end, right? But it's I don't know, as a player, it's not the same feeling, you know, when you sit on the bench all the time and you end up lifting the cup. You don't feel like, I don't know, I didn't feel like I'd done much, you know, about it, but it was still nice to be part of the team, right, the whole time, trying to encourage the guys, right, to be positive and all that, but... And then the one after in 2017, Murray got hurt in warm up before that first game. So then I start playing, and then we beat Columbus in the first round, Washington second round in 7 games, and then I played 2.5 games against Ottawa, and then I got pulled, and that Murray played the rest of the playoffs. And at that time, I knew I was leaving Pittsburgh, right? I knew that was it for me there. So I was glad that I participate, you know, I won a couple series and no more games in that one, so it felt like at least I got half, you know, half the work, you know, to get a cup, so it felt better, but it was also a sad time because I knew I was leaving the Penguins.
How crazy was that first season in Vegas? a bunch of cast-offs, essentially. You go all the way to the Stanley Cup Final, obviously against a team that you played against so many times, and what a rivalry Pittsburgh and Washington had all those years. But how crazy was that first year with the Golden Knights, seeing that city embrace the team and all that success you had, which not a lot of people predicted, obviously.
Yeah, definitely. There was a lot of lots of unknown, you know, going to Vegas with a hockey team. And as a team too, right? Like, you didn't know what we're going to look like, right? I don't think many people gave us a chance. And it was awesome, though. Awesome the way that the team came, the players came together, the staff, everybody, you know. The chemistry all around the rink was amazing, was good. The fans were the rink right from day one, watching practice and stuff. And the success that we've had as a team, you know, throughout the season was awesome. It was a good feeling, you know, when you're the underdog and, you know, do so well. I think throughout the season was, it was great.
You end up going to Chicago for a brief stint, then you find yourself with the Wild. I know those couple of years there, I think personally, if I had to assume, were probably a little scrambly for you and the family. Do you feel more settled now? I know it's the last year of your contract. You've talked about waiting till the end of the year to see how you feel about any decision on your future. But do you guys, does the Fleury family feel more comfortable now? And personally, do you feel like Minnesota is at least a home for you?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It's not easy. You know, we left Vegas. You know, the girls went to school then and left the school behind, left their friends behind. Then you go to Chicago. They got to start fresh, right? Everything. For 1 year, then they leave again, they come to Mini, right, to another new school, new friends, new teams. Moving sucks, you know?
Yeah.
I've been fortunate, you know, I didn't move too much in my career, but compared to some other guys, but at that point, though, definitely, I think everybody's had enough, you know, and I was really happy to sign a couple of years in Mini and be able to give that stability to the family and not having to move and pack boxes every summer and get the kids starting, you know, being the new kids in school every time. So, the summer was so easy. Coming in, you know, right to the to our house and right to school a couple of days later. So it was good.
What do you guys like the most about living in Minnesota so far?
I think it's such a good family-friendly place to be, right? There's like activities, sports, all year long, you know, winter, fall, doesn't matter when it is, right? There's always some sports you can play and places you can be. I think obviously for me, hockey's been it's been fun too, right? People love hockey in Minnesota, and you know, we have good fan base here, so yeah, that made the transition easier too.
Can you describe Bill Guerin? I know that's a broad question.
Yeah.
You played with him.
Yeah.
You know, he's been your GM now, and you guys have a great relationship. How would you kind of describe Billy G?
Yeah, I think Billy's honest, always has. He makes me laugh a lot. He always has some smart...
Yeah, sure.
sorry. He always has some smart-ass comments, you know. Whichever room he walks in, there's always something he's got to say or make fun of somebody. And he was the same as a player too, right? He gave it to Sid when he first came on the team, pretty good too. Yeah, so I love that he's the same. You know, he loves the game, obviously, right? He's worked really hard and paid his dues to be where he's at now. He's traveled a bunch, you know, working with Pittsburgh and stuff. And I'm really happy for him and his family that they can live here in Mini and be successful at his job too.
What has made Sidney Crosby, who you've mentioned a couple times, obviously one of the game's greatest players ever, what has made him so consistent, so successful?
His work ethic, no doubt. Every day is the he works his butt off. You know, he wants to score on every shot, on rebounds, and sometimes looking away, shooting from the corner, trying to score. You know, he's like that, right? So everybody else on the team follows. You know, everybody else jumps in and try to follow him, but I think he's very passionate about the game. He loves the game. He has some fun. Great teammate, great leader. Always cares about everybody, like the players, the staff, everybody on the team, you know. So I think he's, yeah.
A lot of folks would say the same thing about you. Great teammate, great leader. And I've always found it almost flooring at times the way you treat everybody around the rink. Where does that come from? Is that an upbringing thing, a personality thing from mom and dad? Is that something you learned as a young player?
I think all that, I would say. My dad was the same. He will come watch me and say, and say hi to the security guy, right? Chit chat them a bit, or everybody on the way to the locker rooms and stuff. And then, yeah, the old guys I played with, I think everybody was had good example, good leaders. You learn from them. You don't know how much, how they act with the other people, you know, with the team or outside the team, right? And I think you can, I don't know, it's just, everybody's at the rink, right? Like, they're cool workers, kind of, right? They're not in the locker room and stuff, but they take care of us, right? So it's just normal, I think.
Yeah, it seems to come natural to you. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think so. They're just people doing their job, right? And we get to see them a lot, so, yeah.
How do you want your career to be remembered when it's over? What's the legacy of Marc-Andre Fleury?
Oh, geez. Hopefully, I can be remembered as somebody that loved the game, loved to play, as a competitor, right? Because even though sometimes I smile and stuff, I still take a lot of pride into winning and, just a good teammate. I think that's very important to me. To have the respect of the staff and my teammates means a lot to me too.
How's training camp been so far?
It's been good. It would be nice to get a game tonight. A real game, get into it. They're never easy, I find, when you start playing again. So it'll be good to get a few games, before things get going for sure.
In the regular season, in the playoffs, and the preseason, a little different. What's your game day routine like?
Usually we have a little skate in the morning and then grab some pasta, get a little nice little nap, and then come back to the rink. Maybe two hours and a half before the game, I think, yeah.
So pretty standard. You don't do anything crazy. Most hockey players eat some pasta and take a nap, and you just fall right in line there.
Yeah. Love the nap. I think once you, a little skate, stretch, move around, get a little sweat, and feel your belly, and then go for a nap. I think it feels, it's nice.
Any other superstitions other than talking to the goalposts?
I think on the ice, usually I always go in my right corner for a little skate. Usually at TV timeouts and stuff. Maybe I'll go three times in the right corner. Or if I get scored on, usually I go for a little skate to blow off the steam, and relax and take a few deep breaths. And then, so I'd say the right corner is my spot.
I don't know if this is a superstition, but I've noticed you always let everybody get on the bus or the plane first most times. Is that like a conscious thing for you? Is there something weird going on there, you just do it because you're a nice person?
No, just because I want to get some air, usually, because we spend all day at the hotel, on the bus, on the plane, at the rink, we don't go outside, so I just like to be outside sometimes, in the cold, in the sun, whatever. I think it started in Vegas with Nate Schmidt. Usually both of us would just sit out there and be the last one on the planes.
All right, just a couple of quick hits for you. So first thing that comes to mind, all right, you can plan a party for you and your teammates in any NHL city. Where are you going?
I'm planning?
Yeah.
I think Montreal, because I just know more people there, so it might be easier.
Did you enjoy Chicago deep dish pizza when you played there?
I did, yeah. It's very good.
Craziest interaction with a fan. And I got to say, every city we go to, people are yelling flower like crazy, outside stadiums, hotels. What's the sort of the craziest interaction with a fan?
I don't find anything like crazy, but I think sometimes people are looking for autographs, right?
Yeah.
Maybe I don't think they're fans. All they're just trying to make a buck or something, but they follow you everywhere, right? They sometimes hide in a hotel or just they work it so they get in the elevator the same time as you when you're walking up and down, right?
Is there a city where you see that the most? Is it going back to Pittsburgh? Is there a spot? Is it Montreal where it's just it's chaos?
I think there's a lot in Pittsburgh, but they're still friendly. And then Philly. Philly are pretty mean. Yeah.
You don't offend me. Go right ahead.
Sorry. I think they have a reputation though in Philly, right?
Yeah, they
do. Fans of it.
I think it's unfair, that reputation. But that's another story for another time. A couple more. What's it like to lift the Stanley Cup? What's that feeling like? Geez.
I don't know, man. It's tough to describe, that first time you finally get to pick it up, lift it, give it a little kiss, I think there's, I don't know, I couldn't tell you to put in words the feeling, but it's something you makes you want to do it over and over every year, right? Like you just want to chase that feeling again.
Last one. You've been known as a prankster in your career. Give me a guy around the league that's right up there in the prank department. Ooh. That's not Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah. I think I learned, my first roommate was Marc Bergevin. And I think I've learned a bit from him. He was like, he loved doing stupid little things to guys. And Ryan Malone was another one too. Brooks Orpik, I think too. Yeah. Sid got me a couple times too. Yeah, I feel like maybe back then it was a little more ruthless or more guys were involved in shenanigans like that.
I really appreciate your time. Congrats on all your success, obviously. I hope you have a great season for yourself personally in the Wild. It's been nice getting to know you a little bit over the last couple of years. Thank you again for doing this, and thanks for being such a great ambassador to the game of hockey.
Oh, thank you. Very kind of you. Thanks.
That is the legendary Marc-Andre Fleury.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation. Very grateful to have Marc-Andre Fleury on. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to subscribe, to like, to download. Share One-on-One with Joe O'Donnell the various episodes with your friends and family. Hope you find it informative. Having a great time doing it and looking forward to a great season of Wild hockey and many more podcasts to come. Again, my thanks to SodaStick. Catch you next time on One-on-One with Joe O'Donnell.